are not going to go as we expect. No matter how minute that might be. And the thing about life is that everyone's problem is a problem to that individual, not a problem to all. I remember I traveled and I was in a different country and my driver was asking for money. And the equivalent of what he was asking for was £20. I had another gentleman who came to me asking for money. The equivalent of what he was asking for was £800. And as he heard my driver asking for £20, he said to my driver, "Shut up, you haven't got a problem." Because to him, £800 in comparison to £20 is nothing. And so to him, his problem was more of a problem than my driver's issue. And that is how life is. Sometimes someone else's problem is only a problem to that individual. And to you, you might listen to someone's issue and you might go, "That's not a problem, get over it." And some of us will think that if I had that problem, I probably would do well. And I'll probably be able to navigate my way through this than my own. But the issue is that a stomach ache to somebody is a killer disease. And somebody else with something that somebody else will consider to be more tender. And so one of the things you have to understand is that in this thing that we call life, there comes a stage that one way or the other, we will encounter certain things that we do not expect. And it is important, our conduct, when we find ourselves in those stages of our lives. I remember earlier this year, I was going about my business thinking I was very healthy. I went to see a medical doctor friend of mine and randomly asked for a test to be done. And then I had a breaking news. And for about 2 months, I was so depressed by the news of what I had. It was something that I didn't expect at a certain stage or that stage in my life to have had such an information. But I had it. It was so depressed. I would tell my wife, I said, "Baby, I'm depressed." And she goes, "Are you okay?" I said, "I'm depressed." And then sometimes she'll ask me, "How's the depression?" Because I've come to a stage that no matter how much she loves me, there is no way she can help me. She could only look at the situation from a distance and only ask, "How is the depression?" Because for the love she has for me, if she could take away the depression, she would have taken it a long time ago. And if I had any power in depression, I would have left the depression a long time ago. And so the only thing my wife would say is, "How is the depression?" And sometimes she would ask me, "How is the depression?" I'm going, "I'm getting by." At the time I was in Italy ministry, at a conference in Italy, and they put me up in a very nice hotel, but as soon as they dropped me back at the hotel, I'm depressed. And I couldn't sleep. After the conference, I went through Venice, walking through Venice, and Venice is a city that I love so much. I've been there about 10 times, or probably more. And I walked through the city of Venice with a few young guys, and this is a city I love so much, and I never get bored going to Venice time and time again. And I'm with these guys, and they are all laughing and smiling, and I'm putting up a face. I'm trying my best to smile, but I know in my heart I'm sad. And then they look at me and say, "Pastor, you've lost weight." And I said, "Yeah, I have to lose weight to leave." And they look at me, "Pastor, are you okay?" I said, "Yes, I'm very well." And as we're going through the city, I know in my heart I'm at a stage that I'm so depressed that I myself do not know how I will come out of the depression. But the only thing I knew was to take each day at a time. And so for you and I, we go through different stages, and your story and your situation might be different from mine. But the reality is that we're going to come to a stage in our life that we're going to hear news that is not what is palatable.
That's right.
We're going to have information thrown at us that is not what we want to hear. We're going to go through moments in our workplace and moments as young people growing up. Probably you want to get married to a certain young lady, and perhaps she might disappoint you. Perhaps a young guy you're praying about, perhaps he might disappoint you. Probably at your workplace, you might get a letter that is so uncomfortable. Regardless of what the situation is, our conduct in those moments are very important. It is important that regardless of the bad news you hear at every stage of your life, you do not draw an immediate conclusion. The issue with us is not receiving bad news. The issue with us is that we are too quick to draw a conclusion. And Job had one bad news in one day. I mean, you think your situation is bad, ask Job. Ask Job. Job lost everything that would have been your pride and my pride in a day. It wasn't like Job lost his animals on the 20th and lost his children on the 30th. Job lost his wealth in a day. In the same day, lost his children. In the same day, lost his headsmen, lost of the seven. And it's amazing that when the servants were coming, only one was saved at each incident. When fire came and burnt the animals, only one servant escaped, because the fire burnt the animals and the headsmen. Only one person escaped and said, "I am the only one who escaped to come and give you this information." Not bad, not good news, bad news. One after the other. And one of the things we have to understand is that the Bible is no fiction. Job is a person like you and I.
That's right.
And so whatever you're going through, you must understand that the scripture has been given to encourage you and I.
That's right.
That there was a man called Job who lived on earth, not in any space, here, right here, on this earth. He lived there with blood going through his veins, just like you and I. And he was a gentleman who received a lot of bad reports in a day. At least for you and I, we receive at least one bad report this year. You might not receive any bad report until 10 years after. But this gentleman received a compound of bad news. What do you do? And the reality of our life on earth is that in as much as we have God on our side, we are not exempted from bad news. And the reason why we are not exempted from bad news is that there are some things that one way or the other, God has a hand in it. And there are some things God does not have a hand in it, but God has a way for us. And one of the things you have to understand is that a lot of the bad things that are happening in your life, there have been conversations that has preceded those bad things that are happening. And because you're not privy to those conversations, it is important your conduct when those things begin to happen. Because before Job was receiving all this bad news, there had been a dialogue between God and Satan. And so a lot of times you might think what you are going through is all bad. A lot of times you might think that what you are going through is so unpalatable. A lot of times you might think that what you are going through is unbearable. But may we be reminded this morning that regardless of all the bad news that we are hearing, God is up to something.
Yes.
And so in the book of James, chapter 5, verse number 11, James writes and says, "Indeed, we count them blessed who endure." You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord. Regardless of how the devil buffeted Job, the Bible said there was an end intended by the Lord. Because God said, "For I know the plans concerning you, plans to prosper you and to bring you an expected end." And so when the end is not working to your favor, it means it's not the end. Because when the end comes, you will know. Because the end basically denotes that all things are working together for your good. For them that love God and are called according to his purpose. And so regardless of what you are going through, it is not the end of you. Because you are blessed to endure. You are fortunate to persevere what you are going through. Because in the end, God will work all things together for your good. Regardless of what you are going through. In the end, it gets better. And when it's not better, you know it's not your end. Because this is what the Bible says. The Bible says, "He worked all things, for I know the plans I have for you, to bring you to an expected end." And so, no matter the pains you are going through today, that's not the end of you. You are not finished. How you get to know you are finished is when all things are working together for your good. And so, don't allow what you are going through to draw the conclusion of your life. Don't allow the sickness that you are going through today to say, "Oh, I'm going to die." No, you won't die. God has a way of sustaining you. And who said you are alive because of the exemption of sickness? Who said? Hey, there are a lot of people who are walking with sickness. They have no idea. And they are smiling every day.
Oh, yes.
And they are enjoying life every day.
Oh, yes.
I have a sister who's a medical doctor. She said to me, "No, if you want us to always do checks on you, we're always going to find something."
Yeah.
I'm like, she made me run some tests, and my cholesterol was a bit elevated. It was about 4.1. It's supposed to be a bit lower than that. And then I was saying to her, so what should I do? She said, relax, some people have 4.11. They're still living. That's life. The fact that we're going to hear bad news doesn't mean that we should give up. Don't draw the curtain on your situation because of the bad news. And so in Job chapter 1, verse number 13, now there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. And a messenger came to Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the donkeys feeding beside them when the saviors raided them and took them away. Indeed, they have killed the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you. Whilst he was still speaking, another also came and said, the fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I alone have escaped to tell you. Whilst he was still speaking, another also came and said, the Chaldees formed three bands, raided the camels, and took them away, yes, and killed the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you. Whilst he was still speaking, another also came and said, your sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house, and suddenly a great wind came from across the wilderness and shook the four corners of the house, and it fell on the young people, and they are dead, and I alone have escaped to tell you. Then Job arose, tore his robe, and shaved his head, and fell to the ground and worshipped. And he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job did not sin, nor charge God with wrong. It's very vivid. Before one bad news will end, then I'm lucky. See, one of the things you have to understand is that all these bad things that happens at different stages of our lives, it happens, number one, to challenge or affect our faith in God. One of the priceless gifts you have is your faith. And the devil is envious of your faith. Because everything from God to you is free of charge. Access on the platform of your faith. And so the devil knows that if he can sift you like wheat, and you can lose your faith in God, that which God has apportioned for you, you're going to lose it. Because whatever God wants to do for you, God will do it for you free of charge. Not because you pray more. That is not to say we don't pray. Not because you fast more, but because of your faith in Him. And so we are fasting because we have faith. We are praying because we have faith in God. And so you realize that what motivates us to do all the Christian activities is because of our faith. And so anytime the devil begins to attack us, you realize and you bear witness with me that first and foremost, it attacks our faith. We start asking questions. God, why me? Is there any point of me praying? Is there any point of me going on in this walk? Is there any point of me even fasting? Is there any point of me coming to church? I thought I was fasting for God's protection. I thought I was believing God. But in the midst of all of this, if these calamities can befall me, then God, what should I do? You must understand that the devil is always after our faith. And he will not stop. Another reason why you and I will bear witness that when all these bad things begin to happen to us, we don't even question the devil. We actually end up questioning God. God, why me? When the Bible says every good and perfect gift comes from God. And so when bad things are happening, you should be asking the devil. But you notice that the person that we begin to question is God himself. God, why me? Because the devil knows if we can maintain our faith in God, he will continually remain in the position of being a loser.
Amen.
Some of these things begin to challenge our health. Our health can be differs from person to person. For some of us, it could be your mental health. For somebody, you could hear some bad news and your blood pressure can be elevated. But a lot of times, not all people, but for some people, they come to a certain stage in their lives that the devil begins to throw certain challenges to them that affects their health. For others, it begins to affect our relationships. People get bad news at work and they come home and they don't speak to their spouse. People are having a bad day. And they take it out on their spouse. They take it out on their children. They take it out on their extended family members. It also affects our vision sometimes. It throws us off course. Sometimes you think that you're doing certain things so that it will help you to achieve certain things in life, and all of a sudden, in the midst of what you're doing, you hear bad news and it throws you off balance. It begins to affect our vision sometimes. Sometimes it begins to affect our business. It begins to affect our employment. What I'm trying to say is that what the devil does, he's always looking for a core part of our lives to affect. The devil is not going to attack us just to affect any part. He wants to affect certain sensitive areas of our lives where he knows it will get our attention. And that's the reason why sometimes, if you notice, in the life of some Christians, we pay more attention to the devil than God. The devil becomes more of a motivation for the things we do than God himself. And that is what you don't see in the life of Job. Inasmuch as the devil had that access to be able to come and buffet him, he didn't start questioning God. He didn't start asking God, why have you allowed it? The Bible says he bowed and worshipped. You see, one of the things you have to understand that when things are happening to you and you are clueless as to why they are happening, don't jump into conclusion. Begin to worship God. It is important you begin to have God's perspective about the things you are going through than for you to draw conclusions, because what you are seeing as bad is not all bad. What you are seeing as terrible is not all terrible. Because you know what? In as much as it looks terrible as it is, as big as my testimony.
Oh, yeah.
Am I making sense to somebody? And so you might think you're throwing away my golf, whatever, 2008. You never know, I might begin in 2020. I hope I'm making it. And having the right perspective will change how you view the situation. And so the most important thing we have to do, the right conduct we need to have when we are hearing bad things or the things we don't expect are happening to us, is for us to worship God. That is to say, we need to bow down, we need to humble ourselves, we need to speak to God first and foremost, not pick up the phone and tell somebody, but in fact, to pick up the phone and tell God and say, God, this is how I'm feeling. God, this is what I'm going through. God, I am on my wit's end with this situation. What is your verdict? And what hope to live for tomorrow is because of God's verdict on your life, that my weeping may endure but for a night, my joy comes in the morning. And so when I'm going through the bad things that life has thrown at me, I am confident that it with him, I am more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. It is important that when bad things are happening, we first and foremost begin to get God's perspective on issues. John didn't start calling friends and asking them, what do you guys think?
Yeah.
It's important. And it's very, very important. How I was able to get out of my depression was because I had to come back to a place and ask God, what's your perspective on this? What are you saying? God, what's your perspective? What are you saying? And when I heard God's perspective on it, I found strength in it. I remember when I had to do some monitoring, so I went back to the doctors, and the doctor looked at my monitoring and said, for all my years of being a doctor, I have never seen anyone do such monitoring before. This is too much. And you know, the doctor says, don't you work? He's like, hey, wait, don't you do anything in your life to be able to do such monitoring and bring me such report? And I said, you don't know. You don't understand, I found myself with this bad news. He said to me, oh, relax. And I had a pastor friend who was a nurse. And he looked at me, I was with him in Kenya. And he looked at me and said, hey, Pastor, you're okay, you know. There is nothing wrong with you. You are fine. I'm telling you, it is important that during those moments of our life, we begin to find God's way. When I got married, we couldn't conceive. I can't say my wife couldn't conceive. We couldn't conceive. It takes two to make babies. We couldn't make babies, and people will ask questions, and they'll meet my wife, and they'll say to my wife, why are you not having a baby? Oh, this medication is good for you. It can help you to conceive. And my wife will come home and say to my wife, look, when I was proposing to you, there was no baby next to me.
Oh, yeah.
And I said, I love you. I didn't love you because there was a baby. As a matter of fact, baby or no babies, I love you. No babies, more money for us. Babies come. I'm not making sense to you. let me be honest with you. It's funny, but it's so important that when those bad things are happening, you have the right perspective. Because if not, you will push your family to a point you're not supposed to be. And I said to her, "Hope, don't worry, because I'm not." Oh, and my mother couldn't dare ask when I have a baby, because I won't give her that opportunity. And her own mother couldn't ask. So her mother had to go and speak to a friend of hers. And the friend called my wife to ask my friend, "So what are you guys, why are you guys not having a baby? Is it?" I said, "Who wouldn't want to have a baby? Tell me." But then I remember the scripture, children are a gift from God and a heritage from him. And I knew that no demon can hold my baby because they are a gift from God. And if they are a gift from God, the devil has no right over God's gifts. So I said to my wife, I said, "Baby, God will give us a child when he wants to give us a child. Are you okay with that?" And there were times when we thought she was pregnant, she wasn't pregnant. My wife and I had gone on holiday, come back from Dubai, and I was leaving the master bedroom to the kitchen, or I saw her standing, and I had inspiration that there was a baby in her womb. And I walked up to my wife and said, "Baby, there's a baby there." My wife said, "Shut up." I'm telling you, the miracle brought a fight to my home. I'm not lying to you. That day, I slept angry at my wife. Because when I told her there was a baby in her womb, one, I'm not a medical doctor. How do you know? And the times where we thought she was pregnant, she actually had the sign that she was pregnant. But there was no baby. And the time I had gone to her, by inspiration, the Holy Spirit, there's a baby in her womb. She has been seeing all the signs for the time of the month. So what I'm saying is upset. Because she's been saying to me prior to that, "Oh, I'm seeing the signs." Because you know, like, when you're expecting that, every day you're checking, "Are you pregnant?" So I go to her. And I don't carry baby, she does. So I said, "Are you pregnant?" She says, "No." And so, you know, at times when you ask him, and she goes, "No, I don't think so, because I'm seeing all the signs for the time of the month." So, for her, she's seen all the signs for the time of the month. So, for me to come by inspiration of God, to say there's a baby in her womb, that's crazy. It's not possible. So, she said to me, "Okay, when you go out, just get me the test kit, and I'll try." I mean, getting out of the car and crossing to the pharmacy and get it, I'm feeling lazy, because the pharmacy never happened to be on the right hand side, so I wasn't willing to put it. Because I just go over. So one day I got home and she was annoyed. And she got the car keys, went out. She got the kid herself, tested, and she was pregnant.
Hallelujah.
And my wife's face changed, like somebody who was sad. So that was what brought the fire in my home. I said, "Ah, what is that?" "We want a baby. You are pregnant. Like, that was my expression of, what is it? No, I can't take this. I just walked off to the bedroom and said, because you know what I'm thinking? You want a baby and now you have a baby and you're now, you're like, yeah. I'm thinking, like, you should be celebrating. You should be happy that you are pregnant. She was thinking, "Oh, I've got training in Kenya for 3 months." And she was worried about her training. I said, "I could care less about your training in Kenya." And so I went off to the Philippines. And whilst I was in the Philippines, she wants to go to the hospital and actually confirm, just in case the test kit wasn't working properly. And she went to the hospital and they had told her she was 5 weeks pregnant.
Hallelujah.
I'm telling you, anytime there is a bad situation, people have their opinion. People were meeting and saying all kinds of things. But one of the things that anchored us as a family was God's perspective. That children are a gift from God. And I held on to that word. I held on to that word not knowing when we are going to conceive. But all I knew was what God had said. In those moments, it's important that you wait for clarity and never make a decision in a state of confusion. So it's very important that when you begin to hear all these bad news and all these unpleasant things, be careful not to make any decision, but wait on God for clarity. Number two, seek the right counsel and stand with other believers in prayer. The right counsel is very important, because I had some friends who were around and say, "Don't worry about it. God will do it." I also have another friend who was in our church, and he had been married, had a baby before, had a baby with somebody. They weren't married at the time. So now he got married. And between him and the wedded wife, they couldn't have a child. And sometimes we pray, because the wedded wife wanted a baby so much that was creating issues at home. And sometimes we pray and we'll be encouraging him. And then it's more like a baby's coming in. Baby never showed up. And then we kept telling this brother of ours, hold on to God, God will do it. And one of the things that helped him to stay focused, and regardless of the fights at home, never to do the wrong thing, was because he had the right company encouraging him in the things of God. I'm telling you that sometimes one of the things that will help you is having the right Christian friends around you who remind you of God's promises. Because there are times in your life when you're going through those bad moments, you don't feel like praying, you don't feel like reading the Bible, everything about scripture is boring to you, you don't want to hear it, I've heard it, believed it, but yes, all these things happened to me, I don't want anything to do with it. And so you need some friends that can come around you who feed you by force. Like when your faith is so low, they will just be reminding you of the promises of God, that God will do it. I know you've given up, but God will do it. I know you don't believe how God will do it, but I know God will do it. You need those kind of friends around you. You don't need the kind of friends of Job. Who wants to find fault when there's no fault? Who think they are seminary masters? They understand everything that God does. And say, no, Job, this thing can only happen if you have sin. Look, there are some moments in our lives you don't need certain people adding salt to injury. I want to make it look like there are moments in our life we have bad news already. You don't need anybody topping it up. And that's why the kind of people you keep around you is very important. You see, in the midst of all of my situation, I went into the pharmacy once and I met this lovely lady. And the lady said to me, you are doing well for losing weight. You are getting better. Just keep doing it. It's a lady I've met from nowhere. And I left the pharmacy so encouraged of the pharmacy because of the West of encouragement. And whilst I was depressed, I was still traveling ministry. And so I was in Kenya, like I was saying before, and I was being hosted by this pastor who used to be a nurse. And so he looked at me because I have some machines, I'm doing some monitoring and stuff like that. And then he went around and said, "Pastor, stop monitoring these things. You're okay, you know? You're okay. You're not sick. Look at the readings. The words from him was so encouraging. That I have no option but to kick the depression out of my mind. I want my Jesus do. And it came because there were right people around us. God gives us a church because God is giving us a community of people that see things from His perspective. That's why we have church. It's a company of believers. And that is why, you see, church is what the writer of Hebrews was referring to. Since we are surrounded by innumerable witnesses. Because all the people that he was mentioning in the hall of faith were Christians. And they formed the church. And so when we come to church and you are hearing the testimony of somebody and what they are going through, it begins to encourage you for you to know that, yeah, God is going to do mine. And that's why it's so important during those moments of your life, you hang around the right people. In the book of Acts chapter 12, when Peter was in prison, it took the believers to come together to pray for him for his release. And during those hard moments of our lives, we need the right people to come around us and pray for our God's intervention in our life. Because during those moments, sometimes we can be so destitute that we can't pray. During those moments, we can be so much in despair that we can't even think straight. But we need a company of believers who can stand with us and they will pray us through. And it will be like a dream. To the apostles and the disciples meeting and praying to the point that as they were praying and Peter was released in Acts chapter 12 and Peter came knocking at their door, they were still looking. Rhoda came and told them that, hey, Peter is outside. He said, are you sure? God had done a miracle and they were even doubting their own prayers. So we need to come and see for ourselves. I pray that God will give us such company. Amen. That moments when we cannot pray, there will be others who will stand with us, who will be praying for God's in our lives. Number three, reject the counsel that doesn't reflect the truth and sways your faith. During those moments of your life, everybody will have an opinion. It's amazing that everybody's an expert in bad news. I've never understood that. No, see, nobody jokes with good words anymore. Nobody jokes with words like you're beautiful. Nobody jokes with words like you're rich. Nobody jokes with words like you are useful. With our young people, waste man. I mean, like, over all the good words in the dictionary, you waste man. And it's not like they are enemies or they are buddies, they are friends. And then they tell the other person, waste man, and, oh, yeah. It's like, upon all the good things, why is it that we have to employ the negative things? And it's funny that bad news sells. And once something bad starts happening in your life, everybody's a spiritual expert, medical expert, human expert, social expert. Everybody becomes a professional and an expert all of a sudden. Consultancy of life. They look at you and say, oh, this situation, I think it's because you're not praying much. I think your fasting is not up to speed. I think there is something wrong with the way you're praying, because if you're a prayerful person, this will happen to you. Now, if you're more righteous than Job, then perhaps. But at least for Job, God has confirmed his righteousness. For yours, we are waiting for heaven. Am I making this to you? Yeah. Your righteousness, we are waiting for God to confirm. But for Job, his is confirmed by God. At least, if not for anything we know, God will say, thou faith and faithful servant, good and faithful servant. But for you and I, we are waiting to hear it. Whether we are doing it right or we are missing the mark, we don't know. But grace is upholding us. But yet, look at the calamity that befell him. And even his friends came. And look at the counsel they were giving. Be careful. Because if you're not careful, the wrong counsel will sway you. People will start telling you, and you go to church, and your God is not able to help you, and your God allowed this to happen. Look, faith coming by hearing, so is doubt. So is doubt. The more people keep saying the negative things. And so for me, in my circle of friends, if you start saying negative things, I block you. Because you've got nothing good to say to me, I don't want to hear it. Because the only thing you see, once the information gets into my head, I lose a huge percentage of the processing mechanisms of it. And so the only power I have is not to hear it. I'm not making sense to you. And so I don't want to experiment with your negative words, because I might not be able to pick it out. And so it's very important to use those moments of your life. Be careful the kind of people who will speak it into your life. Oh, I think that this is going to kill you, you know. And especially, everybody has a bad testimony somewhere, somehow. You know when something happened to you at work and someone said, oh, the same thing happened, the person got dismissed. Like, really? Is that the best you could do? Like, I know you know all things, but is that the only thing in your archive you could bring out? I mean, and some of us, we also have to learn how to speak. If you can't encourage anybody, just sit in silence with the person and just rub their back. Rub their back and say, it'll be better. It'll be better. You don't know how to just rub their back and say, it'll be better. Don't just be the devil's armor bearer and start saying some things. I don't know what is wrong with us sometimes. You know they're having issues at work and they need that for their family. And they are praying, God, please help me. BBC comes. Oh, wow. Just be encouraged. My friend had the same problem. They got dismissed. However, and look at them. They are now trying to be Christians. However, God can do all things. How can you sow that bad seed and you're not telling me how God is going to do them? Because now what you have done to me is that tares and wheat are growing together. Let me ask you, when people find themselves in a bad place, they walk with so much fear, so don't act with it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
They walk on eggshells. So be careful, be sensitive to the kind of things you are saying to them. See, in the workplaces, God has sent us as ministers to be able to minister to our friends who are not even Christians and those who are Christians. And so we must ensure that our words are always seasoned with salt. We have to be careful how we are ministering to people out there. Even when the situation is so bad, guess what? In the beginning, God said, let there be light, and there was light. Because even though the earth was without form and darkness has covered the face of the earth, in the midst of that, God was able to make something beautiful come out of nothing. And therefore, we must look at every situation, not by the statistics and the symptoms of that situation, but by the word of God. The first palm tree was not out of a seed, but every palm tree exists because of a seed. The first palm tree was not out of a seed. But every palm tree today has a result of a seed. So in Genesis chapter 1, God said, let there be, and there was. Right? So God created nothing by sowing. He created everything by speaking.
That's right.
But in verse 8, 9, 10, 11, God now gives a command and said, all the things that he has created must now be seed bearing and seed producing. So that the perpetuation of his creation will be as a result of the concept of the seed. How will I make sense to you? But the first thing that he created wasn't as a result of a seed. And so you must understand that what God has to do doesn't necessarily always mean there has to be a seed for it. Because sometimes, because he's the creator, he can create something first without a seed, and out of it gives it a seed. How about making sense to you? And so the first black people that came here, they didn't come here because there were black people in England already, but they came here, and out of them, I'm not making sense to you. What I'm trying to show you is that God can do certain things that beats our imagination. And so the fact that you don't have a lawyer for your situation doesn't mean that God cannot intervene. There are times God can use the lawyer, and there are times God can bypass the lawyer, just like the widow who needed a judge to make a judgment in her favor, and she didn't have that kind of legal aid, yet God was able to intervene. How much more you and I, we are also the children of God, and God is able to intervene when our resources are limited. And so Paul said, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches. We have to be careful with the kind of limitations and the cap that we want to put on God. Because sometimes we always feel like, oh, if I knew this person, and that person knew that person, and that person knew that person, then this thing would have happened. But it doesn't always happen that way. Sometimes God himself will step into the situation and make it happen all by himself. Point number four. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Philippians 4. Philippians 4 verse 8 says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. In the book of Isaiah, Isaiah writes and says, I'll keep in perfect peace those whose mind stays on me. The kind of things in those moments of your life you feed yourself with is very important. And so it's important that even when you're hearing bad news, you begin to dwell on good news. Because dwelling on the bad news is not going to make things better. At least you know it's bad news already. So you thinking about it, it's not going to change the bad news. It's not going to turn the bad news into good news. It's still going to remain bad news. So what you can do is to obey God's word and start thinking about what is good. Because see, the kind of things you begin to think about in those moments of your life will also greatly influence your actions. It's very important as Christians. And you see, and one of the things you have to understand, just like in John chapter 11, verse 32, when Jesus had come and Mary had said to Jesus that if you were here, my brother would not have died. But what they forgot was that he's the resurrection of life. But to them, the resurrection will come at the end. Right? When God has ended everything. So to them, that is what they know the resurrection to be. And so when Jesus went with them to the tomb and he was telling them, roll away the stone, then Martha said, there's a stench. Because my brother has been dead for 4 days. They believed God, that God could have healed the sick, but they didn't believe that God can raise the dead. And so what Mary said, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. So the fact that he's dead, that's it. I'll make sense to you. What I'm trying to say to somebody here is that probably your situation was sick and you've watched it transition to death. And because of that, you have given up on God in that aspect of your life. But may you be reminded this afternoon that in as much as that situation is dead, God is able to bring it back to life.
Yes.
No matter how dead it is. Because to them, it's 4 days. The body is smelly. Forget about it. God is able to bring that situation back to life. Bible says, in the beginning, God said. You and I didn't say anything. It was God who said it. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not pass away. We as Christians, regardless of the things we find ourselves in, we need to learn how to relax and let God be God. Because a lot of times, the issue we have, the contention, is that we are trying to take the place of God, and at the same time, we are trying to maintain our position. So God, I'm the one going through this, but I'm busy trying to find a solution to it, and I'm busy trying to ask God to also find a solution to it. And if what God is saying doesn't line up with what I desire and what I've already made steps towards, then it's going to be a conflict. And a lot of times, that's what happens to us. Sometimes the situation is very bad, and God is saying, be still. And if you're not careful, you'll be like Saul. You look at the men around you moving, and you might be forced to move. But we need to let God be God. And if God says, be still, if God says, you're not the one to do the sacrifice, regardless, let the men leave. Don't do the sacrifice. How about you're getting what I'm trying to say, figuratively speaking? If you're waiting on God and the situation is getting bad, and that is the word you have received, that God is saying, wait on me. No matter how bad the situation is, no matter what. I mean, to be honest with you, when my wife and I were waiting, it wasn't like it was cool. People talk. People gossip. People have their opinion. They might say, you know, when I started losing weight, right? And let me end with this. When I started losing weight, because I used to weigh 106 kg. I've always been a slim person, right from birth. And I ate a lot, by God's grace. But I wasn't getting big. However, I don't know what happened. At a certain stage in my life, all of a sudden, I started getting big. To the point that a friend of mine saw a picture of me in December last year and said, "Bruv, it's not looking good anymore." Like, you really need help. It's not looking good. And so, going to the hospital, one of the things that was important for me to do was to lose weight. And it was shocking that when I started losing weight, these are people who don't really know me from Adam. They've only met me at a certain stage of my life when I was big. And Eric, after speaking, the pastor then messages my wife behind my back. I say, "Is your husband okay?" "I'm good. Is everything all right?" Then I have friends who message me and says, "Oh, you've lost so much weight." I know I haven't lost much weight because I was 106 and I've only come down to 96. Ideally, I should come down to 83. I hope I'm making sense to you. So I haven't even reached my goal as yet. And people were just talking behind my back. They'll go to my wife. So I get up with my wife and say, "Oh, this person just messaged me asking, are you okay?" And I told them, "You're perfectly fine." Then you have some next person also messaging me, going, "Are you okay, bro?" I said, "Yes, I'm fine." He said, "Are you sure?" I said, "Yes. But you've lost so much weight." I said, "No, I haven't lost much weight. I lost water weight." I'm making sense to you. And I felt like at some point in my life, for like a whole month, I have to explain myself to everybody I met. Because everybody has an opinion. I'm almost making sense to you. You see, during those moments of your life, you have to be careful. Because for me to have had weight was putting my health at risk. Now, doing the things that eases the risk of my health, people have an opinion. So whose report do you believe? I'm not making sense to you. Because when I was overweight, because naturally, I'm not a big muscle individual. So I've always been skinny. But how I put on weight, I don't know. But that was affecting my health. Because to be honest with you, I was 34, waist size, gradually moved to 36. I didn't know what happened. I moved to 38 one time I went to M&S. Then the last time I went to M&S, I moved to 40. Then I don't know what happened. I went to M&S again. I moved to 42. And I didn't know what was going on. I'm telling you, this is one of my favorite pair of trousers, right? And when I bought it, I couldn't wear it. Thank God for losing weight. Because at the time, I took this thing home. A week's time, I was trying to put it on. It wouldn't fit. I didn't know what was going on. when I was now trying to do the right thing, people had opinion. Oh no, there's something wrong with you. What I'm trying to say to you is that sometimes when God has instructed you during those challenging moments of your life, if you're not careful, people will come around you and what they will say to you will be opposite to what God has instructed you. And that is also another dangerous stage for you to find yourself, because you will turn in between God's opinion and man's opinion. But I pray that during those stages of our lives, God will give us discerning hearts. God will give us discerning ears. God will give us discerning minds to be able to filter through those stages, that will not be swayed by the wrong advice, by the wrong comments, by the wrong voices. If Job had allowed himself to be swayed by the words of his friends, it would have been something else. And James comes along later, many years later, James comes along and writes in James chapter 5, "For it is fortunate that someone like Job persevered, and indeed that which God had intended for him came to pass, because in the end his children were more beautiful than any other child in the world. His wealth doubled than what he had before." Let's bow our heads. You know what stage you find yourself in life. You know what you are going through. You know the challenges that confront you. You know the whispers of the challenges that you are hearing. And I just wanted to begin to speak to God for his strength in these moments. Just begin to ask God for his guidance. Because it is not easy when we come to those crossroads of indecision. Probably you might be here and you're at a point where you're being indecisive. You don't know whether to go left, you don't know whether to go right. Let me just encourage you, sit at that crossroad. Don't be in a hurry to make a decision until God directs you. Because sometimes when we come to a crossroad, there's a pressure to make a decision because we feel like the cars behind us are honking at us. And so we feel that at least we need to go left or right just to get them off our back. But the Bible says, as many as are led by the Spirit are the sons of God. We don't want to go left not knowing that that is the way of God. We don't want to go right not knowing that is the way of God. We want to go the turn that is the leading of God. And you want to pray to God, God, give me patience and give me perseverance. That in at those crossroads of life, when I get to it, or if you already find yourself, that may I be guided by your Spirit. And if you're here, you find yourself in a very challenging place currently, I'd just like you to lift your hand wherever you are, and I want to pray with you. You find yourself currently in challenging stage, challenging moment of your life, just want you to lift your hand wherever you are, and I want to pray with you. And Father, I pray for every hand lifted. I pray that you will speak to their hearts, the stages they find themselves. We ask, oh God, that you will give us clarity. We ask that, God, you will guide them. Above all, we ask for endurance. Father, we ask that begin to give them your perspective on the situation. Let your joy become their strength. We know that these moments can be very confusing, but we ask that you will guide them. Will you speak to their hearts, oh God? Will you comfort them, Lord? And if the enemy seeks to sift them in any fashion and in any way, Father, we pray that you will let the standard against the enemy. And Father, we thank you and we pray for breakthroughs for anyone in need of one. We pray for your intervention, just like they prayed and you miraculously brought Peter out of jail. So do we pray this afternoon. We thank you
thank you for your intervention. We thank you that even the sick in our midst are being healed.
Amen.
We thank you that, Father, you are promoting people.
Amen.
We thank you that, God, out of this bad situation, you are doing a great thing.
Amen.
To the praise of your name. You.